Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Acts chapter 1. I want to read some verses with you before we do anything, because we are going to be looking at a new section of that chapter. We will start at the verse 12. You will remember that before the Lord left them and ascended to heaven, they asked him about when he would set up the kingdom of Israel. That's a very natural desire and interest for a Jew. There's some wonderful promises given us in the Old Testament whereby God said he would do that. And naturally, when you hear that great things are going to be done for your nation, you want to know the details. And the one detail that they're particularly interested in is when. When will this happen? And the Lord told them that that was not for them to know, but rather they were to now assemble to pray and to wait on God. So let's begin at verse 12. Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. And if you ever get to Jerusalem, you will discover that when standing in Jerusalem, at one of the gates of Jerusalem, you look down into the valley and then up to the Mount of Olives. It's not a very high mountain by any means. I don't think it would even be as high as Temple Mountain that we're familiar with, but it was called the Mount of Olives. So they travel down, cross the valley, and up into Jerusalem, and they go to a special place. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And that's the room in which they had the Passover. It's the room in which the Lord Jesus, the morning when he arose from the dead, came and met the disciples in. So it was a special place. It was a very special place. I hope for each one of you, the house of God, the place where you worship, is a special place. When they would have come there, gone through the door and into the room, they would have felt safe, content, happy. Memories of the Lord being there with them. That's what the house of God should mean to you. I hope it does. I hope this place is a place of happy memories. We read on. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. All the apostles. Now, when we talk about an upper room, it must have been a very big room. I'm not sure when it says where abode that it means these apostles actually lived there. But I do think that during this time, it's likely that's where they did spend their whole day and their night. It was their headquarters. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless it to us. Now, I'll entitle our study today, and it will spill over onto other days, I'm sure, but I'll entitle it, the waiting for the promise of the Father begins. That's what we're reading about here. The disciples had been commanded by the Saviour to wait in Jerusalem. Now, they had been told to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But before they could do that, they had to wait. They had to wait. It's like you when you get up in the morning. You're going to go to school. But before you go to school, you have to have your breakfast. You have to get dressed. There's things to be done, then you go to school. Well, before they could go into all the world and preach the gospel, preparation had to be made. As we read in Luke chapter 24, the last verses of that great book, the Saviour says, you wait in Jerusalem, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Before you came here, you had your breakfast, you got dressed. who were made ready. Well, these apostles had to be made ready for the work of preaching in all the world. They had to be endued. The power of God had to come down and rest upon them. Boys and girls, we can do nothing for God without His power. You try it and you'll fail. So the first thing that they had to do was to wait upon the Lord. Now, from the ascension of the Saviour up into heaven until the day of Pentecost was some 10 days. That's how long they had to wait. 10 days. 10 days. Now, they didn't, I'm sure, stay in the upper room 24 hours a day praying. We're not able to do that. But I am sure from early morning to late in the evening, prayer took place in the upper room. Maybe some had to leave for one reason or another, but the prayer meeting continued. Maybe some slipped out to take care of some duty at home, but the prayer meeting would have continued for those 10 days as they waited on the Lord. And I want to start off by telling you that prolonged, long periods of prayer are often required in order to obtain God's blessing. Now, I know the Bible promises us swift answers from God. When you speak to the Lord in prayer, He doesn't ignore you. He doesn't deliberately not answer you. No, but sometimes we have to remain in prayer waiting for an answer because we're not ready for the answer. Those 10 days of waiting were days in which the Lord prepared those who had gathered to pray for His answer. You see, oftentimes we ask for things for the wrong reason. In the Bible, you read of occasions when people prayed and they were told they didn't get an answer because they desired the answer just to satisfy their sinful desires. They weren't praying in order that the Lord might be glorified and that His work might advance. No, they were praying just to gratify, satisfy their own thinking and their own ideas. And that's how it is with us all. And the Lord doesn't always immediately answer our prayers in order that we might learn, I'm not praying in the right spirit. I'm not praying with the right attitude. And as we wait in prayer, we're gradually brought to a place, to a point, where we do desire an answer from God for the right reason. For the right reason. And that's what we are to notice here first and foremost. We've got to learn, boys and girls, how helpless we are. Now, I know you boys think you're budding supermen. Nobody can kick a ball like you. But when you're out there doing a bit of kicking of the ball, if you rightly analysed what you're doing, you would realise I'm not quite the footballer I think I am. When the goal's over here, and you take a big gallop and you hit the ball and it goes over there. And I have seen from my kitchen window goal kicks like that. No, we have higher opinions of ourselves than we ought. That's true of everybody. And we're not going to serve the Lord until that's straightened out. And I have no doubt among the apostles and among those who were gathered, there were many things, attitudes of heart and mind, that the Lord had to straighten out before He could pour out His Spirit upon them and answer prayer. And that's what prayer meetings are all about. Maybe you go to prayer meetings and you think this is awful long and boring. Well, if you think that, you're not making the proper use of the time of waiting that you should be making. Because when we come before the Lord in prayer, we're presenting ourselves to Him and we're praying, Lord, break up the fallow ground. Like the farmer. You'll never see a farmer just going into a field where grass and rushes and thistles are growing and just begin to spread seed everywhere. He'll not do that. He knows he's wasting his time. He's got to plough it, harrow it, break up the ground and make it ready. Then he sows the seed everywhere. Well, in similar fashion, boys and girls, in a prayer meeting, God does a bit of ploughing of our hearts and makes them ready for his blessing. And then, when he does that, like the farmer, when he does that and sows the seed, there's good results, wonderful results. And that's why they were to tarry in Jerusalem in the upper room for a prolonged period of time, 10 days, as it turned out to be. Then, as they began to realise what they needed and how they had to have their hearts dealt with, they were made to realise that they now had to claim the promise of God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is a showing of faith to God. When we come to pray and we ask the Lord for his blessing, we are saying, Lord, we believe you have a blessing for us. And we believe that we have but to ask in faith and you give it to us. So Lord, we're presenting ourselves believing in thy word, in thy promise, and we're here to claim what you have promised. We expect from you what you have promised. That's what prayer is. And there's nothing the Lord loves more than to hear his people come, showing that they believe him, showing that they expect from him blessings, the meeting of all their needs. Nothing the Lord loves more. I'll tell you this, when you were small, or smaller for some of you, and you felt hungry, you went to mother and you said, Mum, I'm hungry. Now that's not a big request or a big statement, but it says a lot to Mum. It is saying to Mum, I'm hungry and I know you will help me. You will satisfy my hunger. You will provide me with food. And I can tell you this, you might have been interrupting Mum in something she was doing when you made that request, but nevertheless, Mum will be pleased that her little one is looking to her for help. That pleases parents, to see their children depending on them, coming to them and tugging at them and telling them what they need and expecting them to give it. That pleases parents. As I say, you might come at an awkward time. You might be interrupting something that's important. But even though that's happening, there will be a recognizing of the love and expectation and hope that there is in that request that you make to Mum. Well, if that's the case on earth amongst us, how much more when God's people come and say, Lord, we need, please help. That pleases God. That pleases God. Maybe you've never thought about God being pleased. Maybe you've never thought of something you say in prayer causing the Lord to be happy and rejoice. But I can tell you, when we come expressing our hope in him, and in him alone, that pleases God. That pleases God. And the disciples gathered there in the upper room would have been pleasing to God that they were in response to his command. They were expecting to be endued with power. And their every need supplied in order to go out and preach the gospel unto all the world. In Luke chapter 24 and the verse 49 that I referred to earlier, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus told them that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, and that that was the promise of the Father. That's what he called the Holy Spirit. He was the promise of the Father. And every one of you who are saved here this morning, God has issued you with a promise. Do you hear me? God the Father has promised the Holy Spirit to help you, to aid you, to strengthen you, to satisfy you, to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, to protect you. All that you need the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, would provide it. And in prayer, we're claiming the promise of the Father. An example of this is maybe you older ones in particular, at a birthday, some relative has written out a check with your name on it. Now that check is of no use to you until you go to the bank, set it down and say, I'm claiming the money that that check refers to. And if it was for £20, £30, £50, I'm sure it wasn't for £1,000, but whatever was written on the check, the bank pays it over to you, and you have it. You have it. You are claiming that which is promised on the check. That's what prayer is. That there is God's checkbook, and in it there are many promises. And in prayer, we come up to God, and we claim what is written on his checks to us. They were to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high as promised by the Father. And they were claiming, like going to the bank, they were claiming what God had written he would give. Do you understand that, boys and girls? The next time you're in a prayer meeting, remember that, and claim from God what he has written for you. Well, we'll leave it there, and we'll come back again to the portion next week in the will of God. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we ask, bless us, give us understanding, and to fill our hearts with faith, to fill our hearts with expectation and excitement. May we understand what prayer is, and how we may claim from God that which he has wonderfully promised to us. Bless the school today, the boys and the girls, mums and dads at home, the teachers. Undertake, Lord, for the exams that are taking place as well. O, work out thy purpose amongst us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.